Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in! You are tuned in to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army wives. Our life, our family, our soldier. Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army wives, by Army wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more. Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. I'm your host, Erica Garvin.
And I am your co-host, Erin Renahan. Today is Monday, July 17th, 2017. This is show number 615, and we're glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
Tonight on AWTR, our featured guest is Douglas Hatted, best-selling author of The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens, Strategies for Unlocking Your Child's Full Potential. Get connected with Doug on social media via Facebook / Douglas M. Hatted, Twitter at Douglas M. Hatted, even YouTube at youtube.com/user/ Douglas Hatted, and Instagram at Instagram.com/ Doug M. G. H.
And if you're listening to our show live, join our fun show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out and chat with the AWN Core Team. Head over to twitter.com/ Army Wife Network and be sure to use # Army Wife to participate.
Tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families. That's why they need life insurance. Enroll today. Learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MBA-1020. Well, Erin, I am so excited to be hosting the show with you tonight. It's our first time hosting together, so let's take a few minutes to catch up. What's been happening in your Army Wife life lately?
So, nothing super exciting, just summer's flying by, which I didn't expect. And I dyed my hair blue. So
yay!
That's like the big thing
have
right
you
now.
Have you posted any photos of your new hairstyle?
I did. Yeah, I posted one. And everyone seems to really like it. So, I mean, even my mom, who usually has something to say, was just like, wow, that's so cool. I was like, okay, then. Guess we'll go with blue hair right now. But the downside is that every time I take a shower, it, like, comes out because it's semi-permanent. So I had, like, white, pinkish-white nail polish on, and it's blue now because of my hair dye washing my hair.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's okay. It looks like it's meant to be blue for now. Downside. Yeah. Dyeing my hair
so
blue.
So did you do blue all over, or did you just do pieces of blue throughout?
No, I did blue all over. So I bleached my hair, which I've never done before because I'm a brunette and I don't want bleach on my hair because I'm going to fry it. So I did this myself, like, because I didn't want to pay to get it done, which I don't recommend. Just go pay to get it done. Like, I was literally, like, rocky in the bathroom, like, jumping around, like, throwing fist pumps, like, punches in the air, trying to, like, motivate myself to get this going. So I bleached it, and then I did, you know, rinsed it out, and then I did the full, like, hair color all over. So it's all blue. So look like a smurf.
Now, did you go with, like, a dark blue, or am I picturing, like, neon blue? I haven't seen a picture yet.
I did,
so I'm
like,
trying to figure
like
out.
Like, an aqua color. Like, aqua. Like, teal. Like, greenish blue.
Yeah.
Because it looks green in some lights, and blue in some light. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, do you
know.
Think after
we'll
the
see.
Blue rinses out, what do you want to do next?
I don't know, because my middle schooler is we homeschool, but he's going to seventh grade for he's going to middle school for seventh grade. So I'm like, maybe I should just have normal hair because I have to do like adult things and take my kid to school and whatnot. And I'm not sure if he would appreciate his mom showing up with blue hair. So we'll see. We'll see what my tween says. So yeah.
We might have to put it out on a poll and see how many other male spouses have unusual colored hairs. I know I have a lot of friends back at Fort Riley who have amazing shades of blue and red and sometimes even green. And
oh wow,
they still
That's
rock
fun.
It as moms. So I know there's a mom out there even listening tonight who has amazing not natural hair and is totally a mom of a teen or a tween. So we got you.
Good.
If that's what you want to
okay.
do for the school
Good.
Year.
So how are you doing?
I am doing well. Me and my 3-year-old daughter just returned from an amazing trip in New Zealand, and we had the opportunity to stay there for a month. I have a friend who's a math teacher here in Ohio where we're staying, and she is from New Zealand, and she also has an amazing daughter who is 3 years old. So we're like, yeah, we can totally travel overseas with 2 toddlers, and it will be perfectly fine. Well, we did have a lot of fun, and we saw so many amazing of New Zealand. Just the scenery itself is just worth going and seeing. And I would like to say that our toddlers were just perfect angels the entire time, but I think everyone listening would know that would be a huge lie. So there were some challenges with our trip, but even with all of the challenges of tired, jet lag, toddlers, I would encourage anyone to go and to travel, no matter the age of the children, just because it's always a wonderful opportunity to go and do new things.
Yeah,
so
that's amazing.
Thank you. We have returned successfully. I have utilized Shutterfly's free printing pictures off their mobile app, and I have 3 ginormous orange boxes in my room of photos that are just begging me to scrapbook and put in picture albums. And now that I'm home and can relax and I don't have a plan every day of what I'm doing, they can stay in their box for just a little bit longer until we break out those memories and start showing the family. So that's our big thing this summer, is our trip to New Zealand. So now summer has turned into visiting friends and family while my husband is on a rotation to South Korea, and I will probably have more interesting news come late fall upon his arrival. So we'll have more interesting things to talk about the next time we host. Speaking of summer flying by, how is the summer going for you and your family? Because I know you guys homeschool. Aaron, are you still with us? I am going to take this time while Aaron reconnects and jump into our hot topics this week. Hot in military family news, there are plenty of challenges when it comes to PCSing, one of which includes the fact that male spouses often have to quit their jobs. Did you know, though, that spouses can qualify for unemployment benefits? The National Military Family Association has the details in one of their recent blog posts. Military spouses can qualify for unemployment in 46 states upon submitting PCS orders to the state that they have previously worked in prior to moving, as long as they have worked in the state for 18 months. Though most military spouses who are PCSing overseas often don't qualify, it is an arguable point. And the 4 states in question that don't offer this benefit, those would be Idaho, Louisiana, North Dakota, and Ohio. To learn more about unemployment benefits for military spouses who have had to quit their job due to their spouse's PCS orders, check out the recent news section of the National Military Family Association website or look for a direct link being posted now on AWN's Twitter feed.
Okay,
welcome
and hot
back
on
to the
AWN.
Show, Erin.
Oh, hi. Yeah, technical difficulties. It's awesome. My life right now doing this deployment. Sorry. Okay. Hot on AWN this week, it's no secret that summertime is prime PCS season. The comings and goings of military families throughout the world can leave our to-do list overflowing, head spinning, and yes, even our hearts hurting just a little bit. AWN experienced blogger Amy talks about the heartache, or rather that gut ache, that automatically shows up when we know the PCS goodbyes are coming. She writes, "If I were to make a list of the things I dread about PCSing, saying goodbye wins the gold medal. Yes, I hate the smell of boxes and the sound of screeching tape. And yes, I would give any amount of money to never again have to open my kitchen cabinet doors and have a complete stranger tell me, 'Whoa, man, that's a lot of dishes.' But as soon as we get official orders, the goodbye knot of dread in my stomach starts to form. We all know how strong the bonds of mil-spouse friendships are. We all have personal examples, most likely more than one, of the kind of lasting impact other spouses have made on us. These are the men and women who become family in less time than it takes to unpack a house. Their kids become an extension of your own kids, and before you know it, you are each other's emergency contact. A few days into the friendship, and you are sharing a bottle of wine while you run down your list of mutual Facebook friends. She's right, you know, we do exactly that. We make fast friends. We start forming that knot the minute we meet, making that knot so tight it is impossible to untie." Read the rest of Amy's powerful and true story about the goodbye knot over on our AWN Experience blog, or get connected via the link we are posting in our Twitter feed or in the Blog Talk Radio comment feed.
It's AWN social media roundup time. Can you remember what it's like to be a new mill spouse? It's like stepping into a whole new world you never really understood, being bombarded with information and procedures on how everything is done. I think one thing we can all agree on is the wealth of knowledge and advice that we received, whether it was from fellow military spouses or from a new book. Last week, we asked AWN fans, what is the best advice or tip you have received as a new mill spouse? Fan wrote, "Tip the commissary baggers," while another shared, "Be flexible." Have tips you would like to share with new mill spouses or the best advice you have ever received? Head over to the AWN Facebook page to add your own tips to the discussion. Erin, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received as a military spouse?
So it wasn't really advice. They just told me I was going to be alone a lot. just be prepared.
That's the hard truth.
And I was like, I know. I was like, what are you talking about? And then, yep, like second week we were married, like he's gone. Like, oh, okay. What about you? Did you receive any as a military spouse?
Well, before I became a military spouse, my husband had already deployed to Afghanistan, and he decided that if I could get through a deployment, then I could be a good Army wife. So I was told just to keep busy. I think that's the first thing we learn is how to deal with those moments of separation. So just staying busy. Whether it was a hobby, for me, it was going to school full-time and working full-time. But that has really been the best advice, because when you're busy, you kind of forget less that they're gone, and you kind of worry a little bit less and feel sad a little bit less, just because for those moments during the day, you have something else to do besides focusing your mind on that.
Yes, good advice.
That's the good advice. So, Erin, time to move on to our next segment. Could you tell us about our PSA this week?
Sure thing. Last but not least, it's public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit them to one per show and ask for them at least 10 days in advance. Send your PSA to info@armywifenetwork.com. Boys and Girls Club Clubs of America Military Partnership. Your child may have countless friends on social media, but nothing beats that face-to-face interaction in a new environment. You need an outlet for your kids, and that's where the Boys and Girls Clubs come in. Help your kids meet new people, try new things, and have fun. Get them plugged into the Boys and Girls Clubs. So you have children between the ages of 6 and 18. You want them active, entertained, and in an enriching environment that values education, right? Whether you live on or off the installation, your kids can participate in Boys and Girls Clubs programs. Since 1991, the military services have worked with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America to provide access to youth centers and clubs around the country. Here's what the clubs provide. A solid support network that offers a sense of belonging, ongoing relationships with caring adults, a safe and healthy environment to develop lifelong skills, and many other resources. Learn more by going to militaryonesource.mil/family. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after these quick commercial breaks is our new Sticks Lisa, bringing you the need-to-know stories. We'll be right back.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. You're listening to the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Welcome back, Army Wife Talk Radio. Tonight we have Lisa on the line filling in for a new 6th Gen. What news story do you have for us tonight, Lisa?
Hi, Erica and Erin. Tonight's story comes from the Military Times, which offers 14 tips from 4 seasoned military spouse experts when it comes to deployments and how to get through those tough times.
Oh, I like the sound of this, Lisa. Can you tell us some of these tips?
Sure. Tip number 1 is know what's out there. This includes checking your installation's website and social media pages, as well as family and youth centers on base or post and the newspaper. Number 2 is find friends. This can be done at your unit's FRG meetings and events before and during the deployment, or maybe off post at a store or event catering to a hobby that you enjoy, like knitting. Another tip is to know your nonprofits. There are lots of nonprofit organizations out there that cater solely to military families or have programs specific to military families and kids whose military service member is currently deployed.
Those are great tips, Lisa. Are there any tips for dealing with your child during the difficult times of a deployment?
One military spouse suggested that you shouldn't be too proud or too shy to ask for help and take help if it's offered. On the other hand, if you ask for help, be prepared to let it go if someone is unable to help you. Don't take it personally and don't stop asking for the help that you need. Tip number 6 is to pick your battles when it comes to your kids. You may insist on them completing their homework after dinner and brushing their teeth before bed, but you can let go of some other battles, like wearing pajamas to bed. Along the same lines, tip number 7 is to set boundaries for your family. Help your kids to realize that they may need to make some sacrifices, such as finding a summer job closer to home so they aren't dependent on you for a ride.
And what about tips for our listeners when it comes to their deployed service member?
There were several tips listed for that, including stay connected. The military spouses suggested trying to include the deployed service member in family life as much as possible through the use of video chats or sending videotapes to your kids' school and sports events. Another spouse suggested taking a deep breath and thinking before you speak, text, email, write a letter, or communicate with your service member. Emotions run high on both sides of deployments, and a little grace and mercy goes a long way in situations like this. Another tip is be understanding. Both you and the service member are trying to make it through a tough time and a tough separation. You may not handle situations such as paying the bills or disciplining children like the service member would, but he or she is trying to do the best that they can.
I really like these tips, Lisa. What else was mentioned in this list?
Tip number 11 is make time for you. Find something that you truly enjoy, something that feeds your soul, and find time to include it in your life on a routine basis. Tip number 12 is start the countdown. Create a visible sign of progress toward homecoming, such as a calendar or a marble jar. Another tip is don't dwell. Try not to get sidetracked with thoughts that make you anxious or dwell on what you might need to give up during a deployment. Instead, put yourself in your service member's boots, which will help you cope, give you sympathy, and help you be concerned about someone besides yourself. The last tip is keep the routine. Keep your family on a routine as much as possible, which provides some stability for children during a difficult, uncertain time for them.
Lisa, thanks for bringing us these great tips for dealing with deployments for military spouse experts. Listeners, stay tuned after this break for our interview with Doug Haddad, author of The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens, Strategies for Unlocking Your Child's Full Potential.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-6779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook.
Operation In Touch offers special savings, coupons, and editorial content tailored to the lives of our active military families, providing useful beauty tips and recipes, as well as news and ongoing promotions. Operation In Touch is sponsored by Unilever and its brands, serving as a resource for American military families who serve this nation each and every day. As a member of Operation In Touch, you'll receive exclusive offers and savings on Unilever products you know and love. Registration is easy and free. Simply visit OperationIntouch.com to sign up today. And be sure to like us on Facebook.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back, Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Erica Garvin.
And I'm your co-host, Erin Renahan. Tonight we have with us Douglas Haddad. Doug is an award-winning middle school teacher and best-selling author of The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens, Strategies for Unlocking Your Child's Full Potential. He's taught over 2,000 students in his 17 years as an educator, working with children from all different backgrounds and abilities. He has spoken with hundreds of parents and has worked with them to better understand and communicate with their children in a loving way.
Through his innovative teaching styles and educational games, music, and videos he has originally created for children, Doug has helped different learners become motivated, set goals, self-manage, learn how to make good choices, become happy, healthy, self-reliant, and stable-minded, and navigate through peer pressures to overcome the many challenges that they are faced with each day. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Aaron and Erica, thank you for having me. And first and foremost, I want to thank you for having this radio network. And the work that you ladies are doing is something that's quite extraordinary. And I think for people to know that there's a forum for people to come to with this kind of advice is fantastic. So I want to thank you first and foremost right off the bat.
Thank you, Doug. We definitely appreciate that feedback. And I can't say enough how great it is to volunteer for Army Wife Network and bring so many resources to our listeners throughout the world. So to get started, Doug, please tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling in from tonight.
Yes, my name is Douglas Haddad, and I'm a middle school science teacher out of Connecticut. And I've been teaching for 17 years, as you mentioned. I've also been a coach, a mentor, a speaker. I've traveled all the way across the nation to California and spoke with educators on a variety of topics. And a lot of the topics we're going to talk about tonight, I've spoken with, I've handled with children, with parents at multiple levels. And I've worked with kids in all kinds of capacities from all different backgrounds over the years. So that's a little bit about myself as an educator. I'm also the author of a book that we're going to talk a little bit about tonight called The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens and help provide some strategies for unlocking a child's full potential. And I think that's really what it's all about with children. They want to be heard. They want to be understood. And tonight I'm going to help parents sort of have the treasure sort of chest key that's going to unlock that for their child.
Well, Doug, I was telling Erica, my 12-year-old turns 13 at the end of this month, so this podcast couldn't have come at a better time. I'm so excited. I've got like pen and paper ready to go for notes. So thank you again for being here with us. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's the jackpot age right there where you see the kids changing. So don't worry if you think, all of a sudden, what happened to my child? Where did he or she go? They'll be back.
Great. I might have to get your contact information after this show just to walk me through these next couple of years.
Sure.
So after teaching for 17 years, what inspired you to write a book on raising healthy teens and tweens?
I think just being around them for all that time, I've seen such a change over 17 years. And just in speaking with educators that have been there for 35 years, I mean, it's just incredible what kids are going through nowadays. And in addition to all the troubling problems that have been around for many years with smoking and drinking and drugs and all of that that's been affecting children for generations on end, technology has really boomed, as we know. And you know, ever since the advent of the internet, and then we get into cell phones, then we get into social networking websites, then we get into, you know, apps, chat rooms, all these games online. I mean, it just opens up a whole other sort of Pandora's box that kids can get themselves into of inappropriate, unsafe behavior. And that's what really inspired me to write this book in large part, just to make parents really aware of these issues, how to help their children navigate through them, to prevent, or if the problem has already manifested, to intervene. And then also to help parents ultimately improve their communication with their child and, you know, help their children resolve conflict and even within the household properly be able to handle conflict as it happens. Because as you said, you know, your child's going from one time when it's like childhood to now it's the beginning of adolescence. So they're going to go through these changes. They're going to strive for independence. They're going to try to break away a little bit. And to be there with the strategies to help them through that and to help solve problems and handle all the social challenges that awaits them, that's really the main goal of my book and really to equip parents with the navigation and the how-to survival kit.
Now, Doug, you just mentioned adolescence. I was wondering why adolescence is an important state in a child's development.
Well, it is the time frame where there is a lot of change. There's physical change. There's emotional change. As I said, children are testing boundaries regularly. They're striving for that independence. and they ultimately want to be heard and understood. They're trying to become their own person. They're searching for their identity. They're going from one peer group to the next, and sometimes, you know, they're not making the right choices. So adolescence is a time of really discovery and exploration. And with that being said, we want our child to be able to do that in a safe manner, to reduce their engagement in different risky behaviors, because it is that time frame where they develop whatever lifestyle habits they're doing that they're going to carry with them through adulthood. And I feel that in order for parents to really have the best chance at raising a child who has what I call the three S's, and that's something I talk about in my book, How to Raise a Smart, Successful, and Self-Disciplined Child, they need to be aware of certain challenges that children face and really have the strategies to help their children cope to best prevent them from making these poor decisions. And that's important. And I really talk about my book early on, how to go back and make connections with a child, you know, how to actually, in a way, go back to when a child was that age. So for, I think it was Aaron or Erica that mentioned that your child's going to be entering the teen zone. Well, you want to go back yourself and think about what was it like when you were suddenly 13 years old and became a teenager. And I pose a bunch of questions in my book, literally I'd say about 40, 50 really pointed questions to help you get back there emotionally, physically, smell the classrooms, smell what it was like when you were at the locker, when you were in the gym. Remember that feeling when you were next to somebody who was your worst enemy, or how to feel on the bus, so on and so forth. And that might strike up some emotions that aren't so pleasant for some people, and for others it might be more pleasant. So it gives an overall experience that you can say, hey, now I can better connect with you. And that's really what's key, why adolescence is really so important to understand.
Wow. So what are some of the 10 steps identified in your book to unlocking your child's full potential?
Well, in my book, I set it up into a couple parts. And part one, I propose the 10 steps that are really necessary. And they're the 10 what I call child unlimited strategies for unlocking your child's full potential. And, you know, in a way, if you think about it, it's sort of a play on words, but parents who provide the right limits for their child will allow their child to become unlimited to reach their full potential, versus a parent who allows a child to see, do, run the household, whatever they want, and become unlimited, then that's going to limit them in the long run. Because if you think about it, if a child runs a household and says, I don't want to do the homework here, or I just want to stay up all night and play video games, well, ultimately, if you think about it, that's going to limit their ability to be able to do certain basic skills, reading, writing, math, all the different skills out there that a child needs to know. And when we talk about smart, successful, and self-discipline in these 10 principles that I have in part one, I help parents guide their child to that. So, for example, in one of them, I really just talk about putting yourself back in your child's shoes. And as I said, you want to go back and remember the daily pressures that the kids face. That's important in relating to your child. If you don't make that connection with your child, then you're not going to be able to open up those lines of communication for later on when the problems become that much more severe. So I really start off in that particular manner. Also, I talk about effective discipline strategies, talking about the calm technique, and this is something I love. It worked wonders in so many different capacities with children over the years as a teacher, just being able to resolve conflict, where if you have a child who is out of control or just can't seem the reason, this technique will really be the wonder, and it'll be the cure. And it's worked effectively for children who have temper tantrums. You know, I've known parents that say, oh, well, one of my children are, like, bullying my other child. And it just seems that one child is always in need of attention, always defiant to anything I say because they think that I love the other child more. And what do I do? And my child just seems to be just so upset, so defiant, so obstinate. So I talk about the calm technique as well. So I can go on and on, but in short, strategies to set goals, to increase a child's motivation, ways to avoid power struggles. That's another thing I talk about, and using empathy and something I call the REV method. That's another approach to really being able to reflectively listen and respond to a child, use empathy, and then validate. And then also just being able to demonstrate effective conflict resolution. I think a lot of parents could get fed up, you know, flat out, and they don't have the necessary tools, or maybe they've run out of patience. Well, how do I go to that emergency reserve fuel tank to get the results I want when I'm exhausted and my kids have been pushing my buttons? So those are issues right there.
Doug, I'm glad you brought up the topic of having parents having that extra energy and that motivation to keep working with their children. Now, I know you were named Teacher of the Year in your school district. So what does it take to motivate and teach and grow middle school students?
Well, I would say before I talked about in order to grow a 3S child, what you really need is you need the three C's. That's really what's at the core of my practice as an educator, and I think it's at the core of parenting in general, and that's making connections, showing you care, and demonstrating compassion. That's really the key ingredients right there to help motivate and teach and grow students in general and children. You know, the old adage, you've heard this, a kid doesn't care how much you know until he or she knows how much you care. And I think that's so true, because if you find a way to connect with a child in a real, genuine way, then a child is going to open up and tell you what is going on in their life. It's not going to be a one-word answer. Fine. Okay. You know, it's going to be really out on the table. They're not going to feel like they're judged. They're going to feel like they're, they're putting themselves in a vulnerable state where suddenly, you know, they're going to be punished for something or something's going to be taken away. No. The three C's is the foundation for growing the 3S child. And I think as, you know, I've been fortunate, you know, as Teacher of the Year to be a part of a lot of different conferences and conventions, and I've attended, and it's just been an excellent opportunity to learn from also other teachers how they connect with a child. And one thing I like to do to kind of keep it real is humor, storytelling, you know, things like that. I mean, they want real-world situations that they can connect with. And everybody wants to laugh. Everybody wants to feel that they can be in an environment where they're not going to be judged, or it's not like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep soon. And I think one thing I throw at the kids back, too, to really help motivate them is to allow them to kind of create the project that they want by using a lot of the creative arts. You know, the kids can make music. Kids can make videos. Kids can act. Kids can draw. They can do all kinds of things. And I think for one kid that's exciting is boring for another kid or more challenging. So really, those are ways that I would strongly recommend for all parents out there to expose a child to a lot of different avenues, allow them to see what works, what they like, and demonstrate the three C's.
All right. So I'm going to switch gears for a little bit.
Okay.
This is something that we're trying to work through right now. So you noted that there are many potential pitfalls for the new generation, from addiction, sex, and alcohol to gambling and violent video games. How does today's parent navigate through this minefield?
Lots of prayers. Well, I'll tell you. Really, in writing this book, I was aware of all the different things going on, okay, from over the years, the traditional behaviors. But I'm also aware, because I'm with kids every day, that there are these issues with bullying, with cyberbullying, with sexting, with cell phone usage, addictions, video games, gambling, you name it, that kids are getting themselves involved in today, and it's a nightmare for parents. I mean, think about it. Back, you know, even a generation, or not even a generation ago, parents didn't have to worry about, oh, my child's being bullied face-to-face as well as cyberbullied. They didn't have to worry about all these different social means for children to connect, you know, behind their backs, or what can happen to them and who's talking with them in that manner and all these things. So really, to answer your question, you know, that was a good one. How can they navigate through that? I think it's really applying the Child Unlimited tools that I provide in my book. That will really help all parents establish the effective communication strategies. And that's it, applying strategies that regularly and openly discuss these challenges and the pressures that the children are facing. And I really feel that once that connection is made and you're applying those tools, on a regular basis that parents can help their children become, and here's what's key, help children become good problem solvers, not have the parents become the problem solvers. Also, helping children map out and set their own goals that are meaningful, help children develop resiliency skills to persevere through adversity, and really learning those and practicing those coping mechanisms that I've seen personally kind of go by the wayside, because it's a real easy cop-out, you know, to send a text or to avoid something face-to-face through cell phone usage. And I think nowadays, to really help navigate through this minefield is sitting down with your child, you know, having conversations, spending quality time, displaying genuine care and interest, patience, and really just being a not just a physical but an emotional, of course, a financial support over a child's lifetime. That's going to be the lasting positive impact that the child is going to carry with them, knowing that you've been there for them, you are actually role modeling a lot of these behaviors. So for parents to set the tone and set the way through their actions, that's just going to make it that much easier to help prevent from any of these crazy things that are going on in society from happening to their children.
Doug, I think you hit on a big topic that I think a lot of parents can be able to relate to, because as a parent, I think of all of the solutions to problems my child might be having, and I guess I never thought of teaching my child to be more of a problem solver and me less of someone who likes to take control of the situation. But you did mention a really big topic that, as a parent of a school-age child, is bullying. And bullying seems to be a huge burden in school today. So do you think, as a teacher, things are improving there?
Well, I personally know at the school that I teach in Connecticut, we're very conscious about this, is creating a school climate around the topics of diversity and acceptance and tolerance and really celebration of all cultures. I think that's really critical to preventing bullying at the school level. And for everyone at the school, including the students, principals, teachers, counselors, I don't care who it is, custodial staff, food service workers, bus drivers, anybody who's affiliated with education, they're contributing to the atmosphere. So creating a safe and caring school climate in that manner. I think it also starts at the top, having a zero tolerance policy. And I know in the state of Connecticut that I teach, there's a law that any child who engages in bullying, that's an unlawful activity, and that can be punishable and enforced in the court of law. So that at that level, the school level, I do see things improving. However, unfortunately, bullying's taken on a bit of a different look. And as I mentioned before, it's taken on more of the subtle things that kind of go under a teacher's or an adult's radar. You know, you see things happen, you know, physically, you know, in the halls when teachers may not be around. They're busy setting up their class or transitioning somewhere else. In the bathrooms, lunch rooms, you know, by isolating a child or just, you know, something trying to take their lunch money or take their lunch. You know, in the locker rooms, could be trying to, you know, prevent them from putting on their clothes or pulling down their pants or laughing at them. Or on the bus, you know, just being trying to physically isolate a child in a certain environment where they're uncomfortable, whether it's the back of the bus or next to a group of children. So we see this kind of behavior, but unfortunately, I don't think things are improving in the whole scheme of things. I think we've added another dimension of cyberbullying in there. And that's been, I think, even more drastic in terms of the outcome of a lot of children are really becoming depressed, more anxious from social media. I've seen that, more hypervigilant, and there's children that have taken their lives. So I really see that as an issue on the rise, and parents need to know how to monitor their child's online activities. And I talk about that in my book, too, on social media monitoring and what parents can do with that.
Doug, we need to take a quick break, but when we come back, let's talk more about the issue of bullying and what else parents may be able to do.
Sure.
Listeners, don't forget. Thank you. Listeners, now for you, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests by going to twitter.com/ArmyWife Network and make sure to use #ArmyWife to participate. Make sure to click on the live tab to get real-time chat updates. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Abdullah, and on behalf of the Army Surgeon General, this is your Army Medicine, Be As Healthy As You Can Be, Health Minute. With the summer season in full swing, the presence of ticks is undeniable, and it is important to be aware of the different illnesses ticks can transmit and how to prevent infection. While not every tick is infected, ticks can spread diseases to people and animals through pathogens in their saliva that have been linked to illnesses such as Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. To protect yourself, use an insect repellent with DEET on your skin and one with permethrin on your clothing. Promptly removing ticks can also reduce risk of disease transmission. If you find a tick on you, remove the tick slowly, grabbing the tick with tweezers close to the skin. For more information, you can visit the Army Public Health website at phc.amed.army.mil. Army Medicine, one team, one purpose, conserving the fighting strength since 1775.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Doug Haddad, author of The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens, Strategies for Unlocking Your Child's Full Potential. Before we went on break, we were discussing the prominent issue of bullying in today's societies and school systems. Doug, now you were bullied as a kid and you see it happen in school when you're teaching. What do you recommend can be done to tackle this problem for us parents?
Well, when I was bullied, really, I was unable to find true help from teachers or friends at school to end bullying. And it's really tough. I think really to be able to have the strategies, and this is for children, that's really what's important to end bullying, because bullies really want a child to feel alone and powerless, in large part because I think they feel alone and quite powerless, and they want to gain power through bringing somebody else down. And that's how bullies operate. So, you know, children can reclaim their power, I'd say, in a variety of ways. I'd say one way is they want to really try to stay connected. If they have some friends that are really close to them, those friends that will stand up for them, that will not be bystanders. And I think this is really something that needs to be, I know this is something that needs to be actually taught to children. They don't really know on their own that if they don't do anything, they think, well, if I don't do anything, if I'm not part of the problem, I'm not causing anything. No, if they're not actually doing anything, you are part of the problem. So you want to learn how to stand up. I think really, and this is hard, but sometimes, you know, kids feel like the adults do nothing. And I could say this because I'm feeling the emotion back to when I used to tell a teacher. My mother told me, you know, make sure you tell a teacher. And teachers don't all the time, whether they don't quite understand the severity of the situation, which sometimes is the case. They don't realize how serious it is, or they just don't know how to really handle it. Whatever the case may be, then you have to have the child create an awareness. And it might feel uncomfortable to do that, but again, bullies use aggression to inflict their violence in subtle ways, in outlandish ways, and like I said, sort of under the radar means. And if you teach a child to create that awareness by really telling others, you're not being a snitch by saying, this person picked on me, this person took my lunchbox, then that will ultimately take away the power. That's a power move on the part of the child being bullied, and that'll take away the power on the bully. So there's so many ways. I would just say, just make sure you don't be quiet about it. You also respond assertively. I think for parents to really teach their children to stand up for themselves, I think that's important, because if you don't and it becomes passive, that just invites more abuse. So those kind of things at a child level is where you'll really see the change in ending bullying.
All right, Doug. I'm sorry. I was writing notes. what does it mean to you to get a kid to become motivated?
All right. You have a match? We could start with that. Okay. Well, how many matches you want to No, just kidding. No, I would say, you know, there's different types of motivation. Of course, you know, there's the motivation of, oh, am I going to make any money out of this? Will you pay me for my grades? Or will you, you know, take me for a slice of pizza or for ice cream? No, no, no. All parents out there, that's a big no-no. That's external motivation. That's e-motivation. We got enough e going on in our world, electronics. Instead, let's change it to internal motivation or intrinsic, you can think about it. Think about like i-motivation. And no, I'm not being paid by Apple to promote iProducts. I just tell that iMotivation because that's what you want. You want children to internally work hard on their own. You don't want to have to pay them, bribe them, or any of that. You want them to really inherently be able to do things on their own. And I know it's easier said than done, but there are different strategies, and here are a few. Children who really experience success at a challenging task, what ends up happening is they end up wanting more of those challenging tasks. So one thing is, whatever they like and enjoy, set something very, very basic for them to do, or tell them to describe to them, to the parents, what it is, or teach them something about it, or show them a drawing, or have them make a song about something. Whatever they enjoy doing, have them describe that something through an enjoyable means that the child likes. So that's one big thing. I also think exposing a child to many different avenues allows them to find their motivation. And that's really what we want. We want a child to discover their own interest and not be pushed upon because it was a parent's wish years ago that something they were unfulfilled with to want their child to do. So I think that's really what's key. And not offering the rewards, money, candies, toys, you know, excessive praise, saying, oh, good job, you're doing great every single time. I think, no, you want them to have this internal feeling of satisfaction and that they can do it on their own, that we don't need, you know, you don't need approval from others, and that it's you, the child, that's making this happen. That's what's key.
About what parents can do to really help motivate children, more on the inside than the external factors, but what, or I should say, how should a parent shape his or her parenting style based on their child's personality or skill set?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different forms of parenting out there, and it's not a really, and my book is not a one-size-fits-all approach. I mean, when you go through my book, you will discover that there's many ways to parent, and there's many different types of personalities of children. You know, there's the outgoing person that's extroverted. There's somebody who's more thoughtful within and more reserved, introverted. There's somebody who's more of a sensing or a judger, somebody who's more of a thinker, somebody who's more of a feeler. So there's these opposing, in a way, contradictory personalities that whether we say we're genetically programmed from or is it a combination of, you know, nature and nurture, you know, that saga can continue. But really, the parenting style that research has shown to be the most effective, that to have a what they call a high parental demandingness, which means a high expectation from the parent on the child, but also a high parental responsiveness, meaning the parent is also effectively communicating through active listening to the child. So it's not a one-way street of a parent is telling a child what to do, but it's an equal level of providing strict discipline and also expressing love, warmth, and affection. And I think that's the foundation right there for all effective parenting. However, I think it's important to understand the different ways that children are interested in the world around them. And as I said, you know, extrovert, introvert, you know, the different ways they gather their information, evaluate it, and organize the information to perceive their world, that's important for a parent to understand, and then they can utilize that parenting style that is best to be able to allow a child to grow to their full potential.
Okay, Doug. So speaking of extroverted, introverted, and parenting styles, what can parents do to socialize kids outside of their technology bubble?
I think setting limits on technology is really important. Providing children with a choice of what to do, what they'd like to play, for an age-appropriate activity, of course, and something that involves physical activity. I think kids are not getting in the physical activity. I mean, we talk about adults not getting in their 10,000 steps a day. You know, recently I just went to New York City. I got in my 20,000 steps. I got my urban boot badge, by the way, just to let you know. Walking those 40 blocks, five avenues, but that's regardless of the point. But kids are not as active as they used to be. So I think really this is a great opportunity to really encourage your child to participate in some extracurricular activity after school. That'll get them away from the technology. That gives them an opportunity to socialize, make new friends, and, you know, being able to one-on-one, face-to-face, experience positive group interactions. Helps them solve problems. It's just beneficial all around. So you can do this in a variety of ways. You can start non-competitive if the child is not really a competitive-spirited person. For children that really don't like physical activity, you can start with some quote-unquote special activity and as a family do something that is, you know, an outdoor game or running around with the family pet or just, you know, taking it for a walk or having a catch. So those are different things that children can do. And if it's really at a point where the child's like, just look like their phone or their whatever, their electronic device is glued to their hand or their feet or wherever, then it's time for some daily active chores that you can assign your child and get them moving that way.
Now, Doug, you have given us so much amazing advice, and none of our listeners are going to listen to this podcast and think, okay, I got enough. I'm good. I got this. No, we would love to know, where can we go to learn more and, of course, get a copy of your book?
Yeah, this is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. So, yeah, my book, The Ultimate Guide to Raising Teens and Tweens, can be found, you know, at your local bookstore. It can be found on Amazon. You can learn more information about it on my website, which is Douglas Haddad, that's HADDAD.com. And on there also, I do have some information for individuals that would like to, two things. I have a free Whole Lot of Living guide for you and your family. It just really provides you and your family the basis for healthy living. And additionally, I actually have a 10-principle course called 30 Days to Finding You. It's really a 10-step formula for personal happiness and start living the life you imagine. And right now I have this at a 50% discount. So if you come to my website soon, you'll be able to get the 10 principles. You'll be able to get a workbook as well. And that'll really spark things going in your life in a positive direction.
Doug, thank you so much for being our guest this evening and sharing your many insights into the issues that parents of middle school age kids are very concerned about.
Well, thank you, Aaron and Erica, and no pun intended as Army Wives, but keep up the good fight. You're doing a good job.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks,
now,
Doug.
Listeners, thank you. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Join us next week, July 24th, 2017, when our featured guest will be Crystal Oliveira, joining us to discuss ways we can help our child select a relevant and rewarding career.
In the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is the Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.